And welcome, everybody, to the inaugural edition, the 2017 edition of the NEO Sports Insiders High School Podcast Preview Show. Matt Lodi along with Tony Bogan, of course, and talking a little bit about what we've seen and heard already. We are approximately 1 week, depending on when you're listening to this, away from the start of the 2017 high school football season. It's hard to imagine. We have talked to quite a few coaches out there. A lot of teams are still in the process of doing scrimmages. That should wrap up in the next couple of days, and then it's on to week one, which will start on Thursday of next week. Tony, how are you today, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing today? I'm just fired up for a high school football season. Another year.
Another year, and of course, we have a lot to talk about when it comes to some of these teams in and around the area. And, you know, I think when you look at it, Tony, there is going to be some heavy competition in and around Northeast Ohio this year. There are a lot of good teams, and a lot of teams that, you know, maybe last year were a little bit under the radar that I think are going to be better than we think. Tell me a little bit about some of the things you have talked to, or some of the coaches, I guess, if you will, that you've talked to already. I know up on the site you've got some previews already for Cleveland Heights, for Cleveland CC. Tell me some of the things that the coaches have talked to you about thus far.
Well, with Cleveland Heights, the coach, Max Stevens, also a former NFL player, he said that they got in last year 26 young men that played football at the college level somewhere. So basically what he's been doing goes beyond football. He's also helping them get an education. And from what I saw at the scrimmage, Cleveland Heights football team looked very impressive. And they both, one of the top defensive ends in the area by the name of Tyreek Smith. And also, very Cleveland, Coach Stevens also told me that I don't believe that there's any other school in the Cleveland area that can say that they sent 26 kids to college to play football.
Wow, that is a heavy, heavy number of kids. You know, last year, Tony, Cleveland Heights 6-4 overall, 3-1 in the LEL. Lorraine, of course, and I talked to their coach Dave McFarlane the other night. They would have to be considered still the favorites in the LEL this year. What do you look at when you look at Cleveland Heights in terms of where they stand? How many wins right now, when you look at their schedule, do you think they can muster?
I believe all seriousness, they can muster anywhere from 6 to 8 wins, because Lorraine's going to be a tough team. Bedford's a tough team. Maple Heights is a tough team. But you don't want to look past Wonderful Heights and Shaw. And Cleveland Heights really doesn't have any let-up, especially non-conference-wise, because they have to play Cardinal Mooney, and they also have to play against Benedictine. So
right,
it's going to be a challenging schedule. So, but Matt Stevens, he's got his team ready.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a very daunting schedule when you look at it, Tony. They open up a week from Friday, of course, at Youngstown Cardinal Mooney. Then they play Canada North, a team from Mississauga, Ontario. Those two games actually are home games. And then they go to Benedictine, at Lake Catholic, at NDCL. And then I think the game that everybody's keeping their eyes on and we'll have covered for you on September 29th, they play at Lorraine. And again, as I mentioned a moment ago, I spoke to Dave McFarlane the other night at the WEOL coaches show out in Amherst, and McFarlane says that the one thing that they are working on this year is throwing the ball downfield more. They are a team that, you know, struggled in that department last year, even though struggled is 8-2, 5-0 in the divisional play. The LEL is not so bad, and of course they lost a heartbreaker in the postseason. But when you look at a team like Lorraine and you look at the number of kids that they have, they're another young team that I think last year struggled a little bit out of the gate, but really got things turned around once they started 0-2. They didn't lose again. As I said, the LEL, I think, Tony, when you talk about it, it's really down to Cleveland Heights. But you can't count Bedford out either. Bedford last year 7-3, 3-2 overall. What do you think of the Bearcats this season?
Well, I haven't really gotten to see the Bearcats practice, but I know that they're going to be strong as usual. And one other team you don't want to ignore, Maple Heights, because they, like Cleveland Heights, had a game. They both went 6-4 and barely missed the playoff in their respective regions. It was Maple Heights being down in Division III. I talked to Coach Devlin Culliver in one of the scrimmages. He says that the offensive line has another year of experience under their belt, And Hollis Lemons is in his third year at quarterback. And I look for Maple Heights to be strong this year. I say that they're going to finish above 500, but I'm just curious to see if they can make the playoffs, because LEO is no joke.
No, it is a very tough conference. McFarland told me the same thing the other night. Maple Heights last year, 5-4, 2-3 in LEL play. We'll see what they can do this year. Let's move on real quick. We'll talk a little bit about the Greater Cleveland Conference. Solon, Medina, Mentor, Euclid, Strongsville. And I got a chance to speak to Jason Arno the other night, the head coach at Elyria. Another tough year in 2016 for the Pioneers. 3-7, 1-6 overall in play there in the conference. But again, you talk about young teams that are developing. You know, Tony, you've seen a lot of teams go from, I don't want to say bad to good, because that's kind of a broad statement, but younger to maturing. And when you see a team that has so many young kids go from maybe sophomores to juniors, or even freshmen to sophomore for that matter, if they get the right amount of playing time, how critical do you think is that for a development of a young team?
I think it's very critical, because in a way, it's like trial by fire, if you will. One team also I've looked at is Shaker Heights. They have quite a handful of third-year starters, like Micah Hill, a wide receiver, Jameer Dismukes, a quarterback, Cam Miner, at linebacker. When you have a good freshman sophomore class, and they do good, when they play freshman JV ball, that usually translates to success on the varsity level more often than not, because one year Shaker made the playoff.
Yep.
In 2013, they had a really strong 2014 class that did great freshman year, and then the very next year they went 8-2. And then afterwards,
kind of playoff game. Yeah, tough. You know, last year, 5-4 for the Red Raiders, 3-3 in conference play. You know, Solon last year, very, very good. 9-1 in that conference. They were 7-0 in conference play. Medina, 8-2. The Battling Bees were 5-2 in Greater Cleveland Conference play. And again, we talked about Elyria, 3-7, 1-6. And another team that's got a brand new head coach, the Brunswick Blue Devils. And, you know, that could be a sleeping giant, Tony, because when you talk about Brunswick, you're talking about a community that's, you know, very large, you know, kids that love to play football out there. You got to wonder, a team like Brunswick, if they can go from, say, 2 wins to 5 or 6 in just one off season, they get a new coach, a new look. I almost think that that's a team that could be a sleeping giant in that Greater Cleveland Conference.
I agree with you 100% on that. I could see them going 6-4. Will they make the playoffs? I don't know. But now that they're back running, instead of running the option offense, they're back running their usual shotgun. Looks like Brunswick could do a lot better this year. And same with Sutherland. They've got a quarterback battle going on between Joe Cardone and J.T. Caver. I'm going to be going up to the scrimmage Friday against North Ridgeville, and I'm going to basically see who's going to be emerging as the number one. There's the guy who starts the very next week.
That'll be interesting. And, of course, again, Brunswick, they kick off next week, just like Medina, just like Solon, all those teams. So we'll keep an eye on that. Let's move over, talk a little bit about the Chagrin Valley Conference. Of course, you've got the Valley Division, the Chagrin Division. Some good teams out of both of those. You look at Cuyahoga Heights last year, 10-0, 7-0. Kirtland, 9-1, 6-1 in conference play. Then you get a team like Independence, 7-3, 5-2. That is a meat grinder of a conference when you look at Chagrin Valley. I mean, you got to love what Cuyahoga Heights has been able to do in that community. They're always a team that you have to contend with. And Kirtland and Independence, hey, those two teams combined to go 16-4 overall, 11-3 in conference play. You almost wonder once again this year, Tony, if that conference is going to come down to whoever wins out of those three teams when they play each other.
Exactly. One has to wonder if Cuyahoga Heights beats Kirtland again.
Yep.
Going to turn in the Valley Division, because Cuyahoga Heights won the conference last year and went pretty deep in the playoffs. Kirtland always does well, but you also have to wonder, is the Tide kind of turning in the Valley Division, or is Kirtland going to get back on top? And you can't sleep on Independence either.
No.
They, always fielded a good team quite throughout the years.
Yeah, no question about it. Again, I'm Matt Lodi. This is Tony Bogan. We're talking a little bit about the high school football season starting a week from today. Again, depending on when you're listening to this podcast, it starts a week from tonight, actually on Thursday, the 24th of August. And that is a little bit earlier than usual, but it's kind of been the standard the last couple years. A lot of schools going back already this week. I wanted to ask you, Tony, what's your take on that? A lot of kids, I know the Parma City School System went back yesterday, that being Wednesday, the 16th. I know kids in Brecksville went back early. You think that helps or hurts a student athlete to go back a week before they get their first game in? Because that's something we just haven't seen the last few years.
And I'd also have to add the Cleveland Metropolitan School District, they went back really early. I believe the first week or so of August.
Right, exactly.
And I say, in a way, it kind of, it's good, well, especially if you say, CMSD schools in a kind of a rough area, so that kind of helps to keep kids out of trouble. But on the other hand, it's just like you lose a lot of that time. It's just like when you got school is out for the summer, you can practice in the morning and then sometimes practice in the afternoon. But sometimes you're limited to what you can do. There are some teams that can't, like, really scrimmage, like, during the middle of the week, like a Solon or they can't scrimmage like Solon Ignatius or involved in the middle of the week. Their scrimmages have to be on the weekend.
Yeah, no question, and that'll be interesting on how some of these teams come out next week, if they're a little sluggish or maybe because they're already back in school. And, you know, I know when I was a high school student 200 years ago that it's good to be in a routine. And sometimes I really feel like kids playing football in the middle of summer sometimes, you know, practices are great, but sometimes I think once you get in that routine of being in school in the morning, practicing in the afternoon and playing on Friday nights, it sometimes gets kids a little more focused. So I guess we're going to see in week one and maybe even week two, how these kids respond to being back in school a little bit earlier. Let's move over. Patriot Athletic Conference, Stars and Stripes Division, two very good divisions. Last year, it belonged to Buckeye, that being the Star Division. They were 9-1 overall, 5-0 in divisional play. Firelands was 7-3, 3-2 in division play. Black River, I'm going to see them in week six against Buckeye in Black River, which is, if you've ever been to that stadium, it's a crazy good atmosphere. 7-3, 3-2 overall. Then you've got Keystone, Wellington, and Brooks. Side 1-9, 0-5 overall. I talked to Paul Ferguson on Monday night, the head coach over at Brookside. He said, look, we knew we had to take our lumps last year. We played a lot of freshmen and sophomores, but he seems to feel like they are on the right track. You know, Tony, when you get a team that's 1-9, as we talked about a little bit earlier, with teams that, you know, a lot of times have to play freshmen and sophomores, as I said, you can make a pretty big jump from year one to year two.
Exactly. It's like the more that unit plays together, it basically they'll play together and they improve over time, just like I said before. And with the Firelands and Keystone, you can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but I don't believe either school has made a playoff appearance in their school history.
It's been a long time if they haven't. I think you're right, though, on that. Yep.
I believe one of those schools is due to break through. I believe Firelands is due to break through this year and make the playoffs, because I follow both of them, at least through baseball, when they did baseball earlier in the spring, and Keystone had a great year in baseball. But I want to see what they've got football-wise, because 1 year they were 7-3, but missed the playoffs. It was very close.
Yes.
I believe as the teams improve, they should finally break through and make the postseason.
You know, again, going back to just real quick the conversation I had with Paul Ferguson at Brookside, I mean, there are some kids on that team that need to be accounted for. David Chalmers, he's a playmaker. You got Nate Brown, the defensive end. Quarterback Jonathan Heiss. Those are three players right there that can turn a program around in a hurry. And again, while they were 0-5 in play in the Stars division and 1-9 overall, he told me they've had some really good scrimmages. He feels like those kids have showed up and their attitude is right to the point where he thinks that it's not going to be long before you hear from Brookside. Let's go over real quick to the standings from the Stripes division. Columbia, Jason Ward and company. I talked to him again on Monday night. Another very young athletic team right there that looks like they're going to be good again. They were 5-0 in Stripes play last year, 8-2 overall. You had everybody else in that division, by the way, was under 500 as far as their records were concerned. Fairview, 4-6. The Warriors, the Clearview Clippers were 4-6, 3-2 in division play. Oberlin was 4-6. 4-6. Lutheran West, the Longhorns, were 2-8 last year. And then, of course, you got Brooklyn, the Hurricanes, playing down there off a bit off. They were 0-10, 0-5 in division play, and they're another team that took their lumps last year as far as that's concerned. But again, as we keep talking about, when you get from year one to year two, do not count teams like that out. Let's move over and talk a little bit about the Senate Athletic League, a league that Tony watches pretty closely on a weekly basis. Glenville, John Hay, East Tech, Rhodes, Cleveland JFK, Collinwood. You know, you talk about just those five teams right there, starting with Glenville. Them and John Hay really had a fight last year. Same with East Tech. Those three teams only lost a combined two games between the three teams in play in the federal, in the Senate Athletic League. What do you like when you look at a Glenville, a John Hay, and an East Tech, Tony?
With Glenville, it's going to be difficult to knock them off of their perch in the Senate Athletic League, regardless if they make the Division One playoffs or, well, actually Glenville's in Division Three now, I think?
Yes.
Oh, wow. And Glenville was Division One a few years ago. Things have definitely with the realignment, but I expect Glenville to win the FAL this year. Again, but I wouldn't look past a team like John Hay to possibly make a playoff run, because Ronnie Desiccato, they've gone through some pretty tough circumstances, losing a kid in a very tragic incident.
Yep. Yeah, and that always, sometimes that really can distract you, and sometimes teams can rally around that. So, of course, thoughts and prayers to that family in that situation, but we'll see how they respond to that. You know, a lot of teams, when you talk about the Athletic League, the Senate Athletic League, Lincoln West, John Adams, John Marshall, Whitney Young, Collinwood. Tony and I, before we started recording this, we're talking a little bit about scheduling, and, you know, I'm going to get to see Lincoln West, who was 3-6 a year ago, a week from tonight. They will start the season off in Byers Field against the Parma Redmen. I know, Tony, you said you're going to see a couple of these teams down the road. You know, again, you're talking about these smaller schools that have to go up against some powerhouses, but, you know, again, a Lincoln West playing 3-6 football last year, that's pretty respectable.
Yes, because I have a feeling that Lincoln West is going to, they're going to definitely improve, because I read an article about them years ago. Bigger schools in the area have.
Okay.
But they just to get the job done, because I can see one of the Senate teams pulling off an upset against one of the bigger schools. We'll just definitely have to see, like, you know, how Lincoln, because that game on the 31st is going to be a very huge game. Because you got Normandy, who's riding a big losing streak.
Yes.
40-game streak, and you got a Lincoln West team that, depending on what happens week one, will be either looking to bounce back if they lose against Parma, or improve to 2-0 if they beat Parma. Because a lot of the, even though it may not be, some of the games may not be as competitive, it's just like you have to schedule who you can play,
right,
which is why Tinker Heights played against East Tech, John Adams, Collinwood. It's just like you have to schedule whoever's available.
Right, no question. Absolutely. Again, I'm Matt Lodi, Tony Bogan, from on not only our site, but also does some work freelance-wise with places like Cleveland.com and company. Talking high school football. It's our initial high school football podcast. We'll have it a lot throughout the year for you here on NEO Sports Insiders. And, of course, you can check out some of Tony's previews. We've got previews up all over the place already of some of the schools in and around the area, some pretty good teams that we're going to get to see early on. Let's move on to the Southwestern Conference. Boy, oh boy, the Avon Eagles, always very good. 10-0 last year, 9-0 in conference play. But when you talk about the Avon Eagles, you've got to talk about that first round playoff upset last year to a team known down the road as Avon Lake. I was at that game a year ago, one of the bigger upsets in the playoffs, especially in the first round. Avon Lake beating Avon last year, 24-23 in the first round. You know, we talked the other day to the head coach over at Avon, at Mike Elder, and he said flat out, it was the first question we asked him about, how are the kids responding to last year's playoff loss? And he basically said that, listen, it's the first question everybody asks us. We are going to be just fine. They play, oddly enough, Tony, I don't know if you've ever heard of this one, they go down to Florida to play their first game a week from tonight. They're playing a team in Florida, a team that's made the playoffs, I believe he said, the last 5 years. So do you like that? I mean, if you were a head football coach for high school, would you like taking your kids down to Florida for a week one game, or do you think that that's a distraction? Because off the record, he did say, you know, he told us kind of the schedule. He said they're going to get to go to some Disney parks. They're going to get a chance to have some fun down there. The kids worked real hard to raise money to get down there, which is great, I think. But do you like that, or do you think that's a bit of a distraction?
Depending on whether or not your team is focused. It's like if your guys are willing, like Avon did, they raised the money, did all the stuff to go down there. And I say, yes, Avon's one of the top teams in the area. They were 10-0 last year. It's like, it's nothing wrong with a challenge, especially from a team that's out of state, because, you know, Ignatius, Phoenix, they play teams out of state. And even Shaker Heights last year, they played a team from Michigan.
Right.
And they played a team from Texas.
Yep.
So it depends on where you're going and who you're playing.
Right, no doubt about it. You know, you talk about the team that trailed in that in the Southwestern Conference, the Midview Middies. You know, DJ Shawn Company, of course, the biggest question for them, no question in my mind, and I'm sure yours as well, is how do you replace a kid like Dustin Crum? I mean, that quarterback who set records all over the place, you know, full ride to Kent State, is going to play quarterback there, maybe not this year, but very soon. You know, the Midview Middies, that's a team that, you know, they relied so heavily on a guy like Dustin Crum. They had a long winning streak, finally get snapped last year. Do you think that's a team that takes a step back with the loss of that young man?
That's probably what people were asking when people said, how do you graduate Cody Calloway, the guy who was before Dustin Crum? In my opinion, with the way the Middies offense has been, especially over the past few years, they'll be fine. I think the Middies going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to win the conference, but they're going to make the playoffs because remember, they actually beat Rocky River 83-50 in a football game before. So, especially in a conference like the Southwest,
yep,
you're basically some offense to win. I think the Midview Middies are going to be okay.
All right, some other teams from that conference before we move on for our last chat of the day here. Olmsted Falls, 7-3 a year ago. Avon Lake, we talked about them, the big upset in the playoffs last year. They were 7-3. The Westlake Demons, 7-3. North Ridgeville, 4-6. Berea Mid Park, 3-7. Then you get the Amherst Steel Comets, new coach and Mike Passarello. They were 3-7 a year ago. The North Olmsted Eagles finally get to move into their new stadium. So maybe they'll be a little bit better than 2-8, 1-8 in conference play. I'm going to get to see them a week from tomorrow night against Valley Forge. And then finally, Lakewood, they get a new coach too this year. Boy, you talk about a city that's ready to, I don't know, you know, you talk about a sleeping giant, I guess, if you will, Tony. That's one word you can use for a team like the Lakewood Rangers, just because when you look at them, you know, they've got kids on that team. They just have got to find a way to get better.
Exactly. It's just like, I think it would take some time for Lakewood to get better, but I can see them improving over the next few years. And one last thing before we move on. One dark horse that I think might win the Southwest, or one or two dark horses I think might win the Southwest Conference, Berea Mid Park and Westlake.
Yep.
Even though Westlake lost quite a few people, you can't look past them. And Berea Mid Park has a really good quarterback. I'm unfortunately blanking on his name right now, but he's like 6'4". He's got some Division I offers. And Berea Mid Park, they're not going to be too far down after, you know, they struggled last year.
Yeah, no doubt. And one quick note on the Rangers of Lakewood. I mentioned earlier, new head coach. It's one-time Lorain Catholic head coach, Tim Hanahan, who comes back to Northeast Ohio after Mike Rybar resigned last year as the Rangers head coach. And the 57-year-old is going to have a tough task there in Lakewood. They were outscored last year in big-time play, 438-146, and they've not won a game since their 2015 season finale against Amherst. So, you know, and I, you know, you hate to be negative when it comes to that type of stuff, but you know what? Like Hanahan told me back in February, that's a sleeping giant, Lakewood. We'll see if they get off to a good start. All right, let's end up with the Suburban League. We're going to talk about them before we close out this podcast today. The American Division division. Aurora 9-1, 6-0 in division play a year ago. Copley was 8-2, 5-1 in division play. You had Barberton was 8-2, Highland 6-4, Revere, Kent, Roosevelt, and Talmadge taking up the rest of that division. Over in the national division, Hudson won the conference because they own the tiebreaker over Stowe Monroe Falls. Hudson was 8-2, 6-1 in the conference. Stowe actually ended 9-1, but again, they lost that game against Hudson. Brecksville Broadview Heights, another very good team. We'll cover them on a weekly basis. 8-2, 5-2 overall. You had Wadsworth, Twinsburg, North Royalton, Nordonia, and Cuyahoga Falls in last at 1-9. When you look at the suburban, Tony, any team there stick out to you? Aurora, you of course got, we mentioned Hudson and Stowe over in the national division. Any other team stick out for you before we wrap this up?
To be honest, one team that I would keep in giant is Twinsburg, because they have, I believe they have quite a few players returning. And, they beat Hudson, a team that made the state Final Four last year. That's got to definitely put some confidence in a Twinsburg team that has struggled over the years. I think the Warren Hudson will be at the top of the suburban as usual, but definitely also don't sleep on Barberton, as they've improved big time over the past couple years too.
You mentioned Twinsburg last year. They were 4-6, but 4-3 in conference play. And you mentioned the Hudson win there. So that is a big win for a team like Twinsburg. All right, we're going to wrap this up. Again, our inaugural edition here of the High School Football Podcast Show right here on NEOSportsInsiders.com. We have, I think, what's going to be an incredible season of high school football coming up. And we will cover it top to bottom, week in, week out, right here on NEOSportsInsiders.com. Again, stay with us. We've got previews throughout the week. We've got game previews starting next week, because again, it all gets going a week from today, again, depending on when you're listening to this, on Thursday, the 24th of August. Tony, where are you going to be in week one?
Me, I'm going to be downtown on the 25th. I'm going to be downtowncleveland.com, and on Saturday I'm going to be at the Shawshanker Heights game.
Oh, very nice. All right, excellent. That sounds like a winner. I'm going to be out a week from tonight. Again, as I mentioned, Lincoln West and Parma. And then on Friday night, I'll get a chance to see Valley Forge and North Olmsted. Again, you're going to get to hear a lot from us throughout the year, so stay tuned. We appreciate you listening. For Tony Bogan, I'm Matt Lodi. Have a great day, everyone. We'll be back with more high school football talk down the road here on NEOSportsInsiders.com.